Good afternoon and welcome to the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. It is Friday. We're at the end of the week, the 30th of May, 2025. We're also at the end of the month of May already. And this is program number 1382 of the Lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. Our apologies for the late start. But of course, you can follow us at our website, rcistlucia.com. We're also streaming live on Facebook. And that is... of course, just searching for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. You can find us there. Please be sure to like and share that as well with your friends and family. And of course, if you want to call and tell us what's on your plate today, the number to do so is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. And you can also reach us via WhatsApp 724-0008. Again, 724-0008. I want to send out birthday greetings for today to Miss Melanie Pamphil. Happy, happy birthday to you, Melanie. And we do hope that you're having a wonderful and fantastic birthday celebration. And, of course, hope you enjoy the entire weekend as well. A bit of looking back in time and history for the day. We go back to the year 1539 when a Spanish explorer by the name of Hernán de Soto, his expedition of 10 ships and 700 men landed in Florida. In the year 1848, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo between the United States and Mexico came into force, giving California, Nevada, Utah, and most of Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona to the United States in return for $15 million. In the year 1868, Decoration Day, later called Memorial Day, was observed for the first time in the northern U.S. states. In 1913, on this day, the Treaty of London was signed by what are known as the Great Powers, the Ottoman Empire, and the victorious Balkan League. That included Serbia, Greece, the Kingdom of Bulgaria, and Montenegro, bringing an end to the First Balkan War. In the year 2016, on this day, former Chadian dictator Hissène Habré was convicted of crimes against humanity by an extraordinary African chambers, the first ex-head of state convicted of the charge. And in 2024, on this day, a jury in New York City found former U.S. President, current U.S. President, Donald Trump guilty on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records to hide payments made to prevent damaging personal information from being released prior to the 2016 U.S. general elections. We now move on to our dish of the day. The daily dish is brought to you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A+. Did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got gas, and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosses, Hugh Grosilis, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939. Test Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
And welcome back to our program for today, this Friday. Now, of course, lots of is said out there in the media. And, of course, everybody has an opinion. And it actually was in the opinion of a former director of implementation in the Alan Chastney administration, Miss Nancy Charles, her opinion on the matter of the recently opened detention facility, formerly custody suites, which now occupies the original building, actually, of the police built back in 1904. It was reused, adaptive reuse, you would say, expanded towards the east to allow it to become a detention facility. And the reason for this, of course, is the former facility, which was the Cassidy Suites, which had been built some time back, I think, in fact, during a UWP administration. That site where it was located at one point was the female prisons, I believe, many years ago, and it was reconstructed to become the Cassidy Suites, effectively a holding facility for the city of Castries. And of course, the reason for that is because the way the police effectively developed over time, you had a number of different buildings being utilized, and there was no one single facility or capable of handling the very broad area of the, if you want, you could say the Metro Castries area, effectively, right? And so you would find that quite often there was a need to have holding cells within the city, and of course, for the use of the police. Now, of course, you go back in time and you recall originally the Royal Jail was located in the city, and as a result of the, of course, overcrowding there and an eventual fire back in, I think it was just about May of 1997, just after the general election. Then there, of course, we saw what appeared to be a fire started by the inmates themselves, which then caused for very difficult situation from a national security perspective. Of course, the prison had to be quickly rehabilitated at one point. There was even the use of an Invest St. Lucia, well, at that time, National Development Corporation, NDC, factory shell down in Odsa for the purpose of housing inmates. And eventually, of course, I think by about, was it 2003, I believe, the completion of the Bodley Correctional Facility, which perhaps is still one of the most modern facilities of its type in the Eastern Caribbean, perhaps even beyond the Eastern Caribbean. But of course, that was built for a very specific purpose, for housing inmates, remand, and of course, persons who had already been convicted. But the need to be able to house individuals who had been detained, arrested, perhaps not yet charged, and so still awaiting the first hearing, or you know, that process where they may have to be brought before a magistrate, which of course normally would happen, I suppose, within the city of Castries. That of course requires containment of individuals, and so the need for that facility, of course, has pretty much always been there. Now, of course, in the opinion of Ms. Charles, it is okay for prisoners to be placed in different parts of St. Lucia. As she said, it's St. Lucia is a small place, and so there is no issue sending prisoners to Marigot or Denry or Labrie or wherever you may be able to find the space for individuals. Perhaps not, paying any regard to the logistical and operational challenges that such an undertaking would involve, especially within the context of a police force, which is already struggling with, vehicles, the number of vehicles that it has. Quite often, we know that all too often individuals call the police. They call the police, and the police saying, well, you know, we don't have a vehicle, so we can't respond immediately. You have to give us a couple hours to be able to get to your location, you know, whatever reason you may have called for. And could you just imagine now, you've held somebody, you've got a situation, maybe somebody involved in a burglary has been captured, and you now have to take this person from the community around Castries where that act may have occurred, and now have to bring that individual to Babono in maybe a best case scenario, And even worst case scenario, having to bring that person to maybe an ancillary or a souffre of Beaufort, and the amount of time that would actually take. And of course, the logistics of doing all of that, it seemed to have escaped Ms. Charles. And of course, trying to suggest as well that an investment like this should not have been a priority. Now, and that in and of itself is a very, very strange comment, because the fundamental role of government is for the maintenance of law and order. And so it's almost like the first charge that the police have, that the state has, is in fact to ensure that people are kept safe, that they, you know, that their rights are protected, that if in fact individuals abscond and individuals impact other people's rights negatively, that there has to be some action taken by the state, and quite often that will involve detaining individuals, right? And to suggest that that is not important is a very, very strange position to have, I would suggest. Of course, it's not to say that the state does not have the responsibility of taking care of the matters of healthcare and education and all of these other things. Yes, certainly. But national security is a vital, vital and principal requirement of any government, any state, right? And so we should not be discounting or discrediting the need to be able to do that. It's unfortunate, though, because, you know, for a lot of people, maybe investment in correctional facilities, investment into the police may not seem to be as attractive enough, to maybe gain votes. But at the same time, many politicians will take the liberty of going out there and making proclamations about crime and saying, you know, crime is so bad and everything is of great concern. People don't feel safe. They can't sleep well at night, right? Well, and we now at saying that, and then in the other breath, coming to suggest that we shouldn't be making investments in these areas is a little is passing strange, more than strange, I would say. And I think a little bit unfortunate that, our politics sometimes gets us to that point where we want to, throw out what is certainly should be good investments. And in her mind as well, what is rather strange is that she was of the opinion that this action was being taken solely to somehow embarrass or to make the former Prime Minister, Mr. Alan Chastney, the Honorable Leader of the Opposition, somehow look bad. Well, I'm not sure that the investment would have to make him look bad. I mean, the action in and of itself of what occurred with respect to that whole saga of demolition, right? Demolition of the Royal Jail in the first instance, right? And even when there was a standing court order, right, between the government of St. Lucia and the St. Lucia National Trust over a historic building, right? Which is effectively had, a very sordid story in and of itself. But, you know, it's part of the heritage of the whole story that we have to deal with as a society. You know, in Barbados, they're recognizing, hey, we have an old prison. We're going to turn it into a museum. We have other places where individuals were held and they turned in, they're converted into places of memory. They're looking at developing a slave burial ground in Barbados right now, right? On one of their old plantations on the old estates. Same has been done in New York. You know, you visit so many places, and that's part of the story, that, you know, this person was held in this place, and these are, sometimes even the executions that may have happened there, because it tells a part of the history of a place, right? And there has to be some level of regard for that. But with that done, and if that was not enough, of course, then of going on and demolishing what was an actively used building, right, in the case of custody suites, and just compounding the entire matter without any sort of interim arrangements being made to be able to support the work of the police. And then, of course, doing all of that, and then, of course, with a project that never got started, all of these things, as we recall, would have happened in May of 2020, and still, you know, a year later, and plus and beyond, there was no commencement of any form in terms of foundation works, anything of the sort, occurring at that site. So then the big wonder is, well, what was this great big push and desire to make that happen at that time in the heart of COVID? Well, but anyways, so in terms of the mind of Miss Charles, she was somehow suggesting that this was something to make the former prime minister look bad. I think he might have done that all on his own already. But the reality is that there was a need for a facility like this. And certainly there's a need for a lot more in terms of support for the police force. And so that's the challenge that you have in dealing with a matter of national security. We've had an underinvestment over the years, and we've seen a substantial amount of attempts to try to make needed investments in the police force, both in terms of plant and equipment. And of course, when you're looking at, you know, having that new Northern Divisional Headquarters for Groseley, an area like Groseley, with perhaps could very well even be considered a city in its own right, but it's a major part of our economic activity for the country, and over 30,000 people living in the north in Groseley, and was definitely in need of a proper police station, a facility that could actually handle a lot of the you know, the various areas that the police would have to be able to provide support for, whether it's criminal investigations and traffic and a lot of other units that need to be housed within the Groseley area. So again, finally, and this is a project that was pretty long in coming, right? And I'm pretty certain that there was an opportunity during the, because it was already in train under the Kenny Anthony administration in terms of designs and what have you. It the 5-year period lapsed with respect to the Alan Chastney administration. There was no start or commencement of work with it. And thankfully that started off, I can't remember the exact year, maybe 2023 or thereabouts, and is ongoing at the moment. I don't know in the mind of Miss Charles whether this is something that should have been put on the back burner in the interest of looking at some other sector, but it's a very vital facility that is needed. The same can be said of the situation with respect to the south of the island, where there was, in fact, another divisional headquarters constructed during the time of the Kenny Anthony administration, serving southern divisional headquarters. And because of whatever maintenance that had to be done on this building, wasn't done, and the decision was just simply to abandon the building, so to speak, and to find another location for the police in a much smaller and limited space. Thankfully, I believe they are back and operating in that Southern Divisional Headquarters, which is a pretty large facility and perhaps a lot more comfortable and better designed for the purposes of the work that the police have to do. And so definitely these investments are needed for the Royal St. Lucia Police Force. And of course, the announcement being made by the Prime Minister last week Friday as well, that by next year, work should also commence on a national police headquarters in the in Castries, right? And of course, for the purpose of the police high command and the many, many other units and divisions that the police actually have right now scattered in many different buildings in and around the city. So it is certainly welcome news, I would say, in terms of the infrastructural investments from the police, and of course also in terms of training. And we did see, I think, about 80 police officers becoming, well, 80 new police officers at the beginning or the end of the year in December, graduating there, and then another batch, special police constables as well as rangers, and then I think pretty soon another batch of officers to be trained. Of course, the police are trying to show that these investments are making a difference, and in fact they had a press conference just yesterday and indicating some of the successes that they are seeing. Significant drug seizure, for example, in the north of the island, northeast coast, and I think 196 kilograms of cocaine worth well over $4 million in a major drug bust, which happened on Wednesday. And I think even during that very same this week, we also heard of some successes at the Port of Castries with over 3,000 rounds of ammunition and about, 17 guns also being found during that operation. So certainly very, very welcome news in this regard. The police are also indicating some successes with respect to a reduction in road fatalities. And the indication there is that it has fallen by about a third when compared to last year. And in fact, if you recall, Police Commissioner Vern Gard mentioned that of the police that were just recently graduated at the end of 2024, 45 of them were actually heading into the traffic and road safety division of the Royal St. Lucia Police Force to beef up the efforts there. And so certainly we're thankful for seeing some of the actions that the police are taking. I know they're also trying to handle things like the issue of illegal parking. They're trying to handle a lot of the challenges of people simply just leaving their vehicles, almost abandoned vehicles on roadsides. And that is a hazard from so many different perspectives. But certainly, you know, it can never be a good thing if you've got a vehicle that's just permanently parked on the road. And they're not just one sometimes. Sometimes we see a whole line of these vehicles, unfortunately, quite often associated with individuals who have these sort of roadside garages going on. Well, the garage should be off-road, right? Not on the road. And so that has certainly been one of the efforts with respect to the police. And we definitely want to commend them for their actions in that regard. Of course, they have made the point that you know, it's a lot of the resources that they're getting are making a difference. He also mentioned that there'll be a vetting process for another round of, I think, another 80 police officers. And it's important because manpower is necessary. We could never have enough police to be able to say that there's one at every street corner. And, I mean, that's the norm. That's impossible. No country can achieve, you know, necessarily having sufficient amount of police to maybe please everybody. But you do need the manpower to be able to, you know, show presence, to be able to process what has to be processed, to be able to do the investigations, to be able to be out and about. And it is very important. And part of the challenge, too, remember, is that you also have the loss of individuals due to retirement. Some officers would want, not necessarily want to stay, you know, up to the age of 55 to retire, and sometimes they do retire earlier. Policing is a very involved job. It's a very physically demanding job as well, and so some people do leave earlier, and so it is important that you have new recruits coming in, and so there is going to be a new round of vetting, and I think they'll be vetting about 200 individuals somewhere around the 17th, starting around the 17th of June. And he's, of course, also indicated that the budget has already been set aside for that and for the training coming up there. So we do hope and wish the police well, and we all have to cooperate, of course, because as well, we have to be the eyes and ears as well on the ground to pay attention about our own security and to be able to assist law enforcement in being able to make the gains, the progress that I think most of us would like to see. That's our dish of the day. And when we come back, we will take in our weather report and then head to the phone lines.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus. Satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got gasoil and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosses, you Grozy Lakes, and Slack Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939.
Island style, yeah. We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. We'll have to make the right choice. Island style, whoa. We got the time that will make you happy. Island style, oh yeah. We make your dream come alive in Island style.
We have tiles and tin sets, pieces and ground. Peace out the house out for the best price and the latest style. Take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Beaufort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
And natural, of course, the 1.1. It's now time for your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Telembar. The forecast for Sanusha Valley for the next 24 hours. Winds will be blowing from the east and near 20 miles per hour or 31 kilometers per hour. The weather partly cloudy to occasionally cloudy with scattered light to moderate showers. And there is an advisory in average rate. Small craft operators and sea beavers are advised to exercise caution due to brisk winds and above normal seas. The forecast for the Les Antilles, partly cloudy to cloudy with scattered light and moderate showers and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. And the weather summary, moist and unstable conditions associated with a tropical wave will continue to cause cloudiness, showers and possibly isolated thunderstorms over the Les Antilles during the forecast period. Also, a plume of storm and dust haze is expected to cause a reduction in visibility and air quality over the region from tomorrow. The Atlantic High Pressure System will continue to generate moderate to brisk easterly winds and above normal seas across the Eastern Caribbean region during the next few days. And this was your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talambath.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Island Style, yeah. We got
set spaces and ground. Everything you need, peace on the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Cass Street, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
And welcome back to the lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. We've got about 19 minutes to go before the hour of 2 o'clock. The number to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, it is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. And you can also call in via our WhatsApp. That is 724-0008. Again, 724-0008. Now, of course, I also wanted to make mention of a matter regarding the Port of Castries. And it appeared that there were, of course, some protest action being taken, concerns being raised by individuals who do the hauling of cargo containers. And these truckers, of course, have to interface with the Port of Castries on a pretty regular basis. And it seems as if they've got a little frustrated over the situation regarding the lining up of vehicles. And, of course, depending on the issues of port congestion. But we're going to come to that in just a bit. And we're going to take a call at this time. Good afternoon, caller. And how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Let me tell you, my niece was trying to get you. Yes, she did one station yesterday, and she wanted to know, is it what day it's possible for you to accommodate her calling in? Although I tell her today it would have been possible, but yesterday we tried, but Suku got on just before.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, he did make mention of her.
Yes.
Your niece in Burkina Faso, you're referring to. Yes. Well, we'd definitely love to interview her and to get some of her her firsthand knowledge and thoughts and as to what is going on over there.
And then she's very, very, very knowledgeable. And when you go to the history and literature, she's very good in that, so she can talk.
Wonderful. Yes.
And so, she's very young, you know, she just turned 35.
Wonderful.
One of those bright people that can very assertive can speak.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, and that's why I think Suku was very much impressive because she won't just, when she says something and you call on you to speak, you get her to analyze what you just said and put you in her. So she was good. She wanted to, because she says so much. She said she wants to bring out to St. Lucia. There's so much that needs to. She has even been to the presidential palace, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She had the president's first thing with him, she had a meeting. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that can be said and done, and she just need the message to be out there and everything. So because she did get a good space of time, but people was calling afterwards to ask questions.
I see.
Yeah,
no, well, definitely we would love to interview her and give her enough time to be able to
Suku felt yesterday she was she should have given the whole time to do her thing, because she had so much to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so I don't know if it's possible for man. Now, I told her today she should have called, but I think you have a short space of time.
Right. So what? So what? Maybe what you could do is maybe just immediately after we end, could I ask you to just call back, so we can arrange for maybe sometime next week. If you know. Whatever time she's available, we'll try to arrange for her to be able to be our
she's
guest.
She's also a businesswoman, so she yesterday she had a lot of time on her hands. She said yes, because there was a holiday yesterday.
Okay.
But she can, and there are 5 hours. She said once, you know, the time is open, she is ready to.
Right.
She has a lot to discuss.
Okay, well, that's
and
great.
And I think she had any questions that need to be asked. She needs to be asked, because she thinks she's quite capable of answering all questions that are asked.
Okay, yeah. So that sounds wonderful. Thank you so very much.
So
just after the program, after we end, if you could just call back, and then we can arrange, share contacts, and we can take it from there.
Okay.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, then, bye-bye.
And how was the walk yesterday?
I did not do the walk.
Ah, okay.
I did not do the walk. I know the walk took place yesterday. There was
a lot of rain, though, eh? So, yeah.
Although the time the walk was taking place, I don't think there was that much rain at the time.
Okay.
Yes, but I am hoping that it was successful. I haven't spoken to Mr. Avril yet to find out how it went. I think in a little while I'll call him. Because they did call me, talk to me if I was coming, but I said, yeah.
Yeah, I know, with the weather being challenging as well.
More people that are able to see to go on the walk.
Yes, of course.
It's not that I think they wanted the people in blind just to be present,
for support, and, right.
Yes, the tennis and all sorts of things. So, I did not go. But I'm hoping that the walking, she will be able to accommodate her, because I'm supposed to leave the island on Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so well, maybe if she's available on Monday, we'll have it on Monday. So,
okay, I'll. So tell her Monday.
Well, I mean, like I said, if she's available on Monday, we can try to do it on Monday.
Yes. And what time does she have to call? Because since she has
we start at 1 o'clock, so I guess about 6 o'clock her time.
It's 5:30. 1 o'clock is 6 o'clock her time.
Right. So,
yes.
So that would be the window. So yeah.
So guess she wants to. Guess she has a lot to say. So. I suppose that's when you finish doing your dish, or just after you come in.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, definitely. Sounds good. Okay. We're looking forward to it, caller.
All right, then.
All right, and have a good one.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Now, yes, as I was mentioning, the matter of the Port of Castries is one which has been very challenging for the St. Lucia Air and Sea Ports Authority. The port was built in an era where it was still fairly early days, I suppose, in terms of cargo and how that was being run. And of course, even since then, what has also changed is the demands regarding cruise tourism. In fact, there's a gentleman who posts quite a lot of photos on a Facebook group called I Love St. Lucia. Mr. Tony Joseph, and he posted recently an image of a cruise ship, perhaps back in the night, around the time when that port expansion was going on, and it was so interesting how small the cruise ships were back then in comparison to the behemoths that we actually have coming into the ports across the Caribbean right now. It is certainly very, very, very different, and these boats are far, far larger in terms of the displacement and the length, and of course, what it really means as well is that even with, you'd recall, you know, there was the construction of Point Serafin, which was aimed towards trying to separate the cruise traffic from, or the cruise vessels from the cargo vessels, and still though, that rising demand within the Caribbean for more berthing capacity and for larger ships eventually meant that those ships even outgrew what existed at Point Serafin. And you'd recall, I think somewhere in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was in fact an additional expansion of the berth, and berth one, that was even expanded even more to accommodate these Oasis class vessels more recently. And of course, under GPH is an extension to, I believe, add another breasting dolphin to allow for an even larger class of vessels. So there's a need, of course, for figuring things out in terms of the Port of Castries. And for a while now, in fact, the general proposal really has been to allow Castries to become a cruise dedicated port. That was the thinking that had been put forward, certainly by the late 1990s at that point already, so that you could have more berthing capacity for vessels. I mean, and right now, we really have just two berths that can handle the relatively large cruise vessels, cruise ships. And that's berth one, and as well the what you could probably refer to as the Queen Elizabeth II dock, or the Northern Wharf, which could probably handle vessels up, you know, about 300 meters around that length. And so beyond that, now, of course, there's a need for more berthing capacity within the harbor for cruise vessels. And when you compare what we can do in Castries to St. Kitts, for example, Port Zante, which is purpose-built, reclaimed land in front of Basse-Terre on their foreshore, and they have the capacity to handle four very large vessels. In the case of Antigua and Barbuda at St. John's, they can handle up to five vessels. That's also a port that GPH has gotten into. They added on that fifth berth, which can handle these very large vessels. And so, I mean, and the same can be said for other places which we're competing with in the Southern Caribbean, including the likes of Dutch St. Martin. That's another area which handles quite a number of vessels. And St. Croix, Charlotte Amalie, they have two different ports actually there. And again, a very large capacity in terms of the number of vessels, about five, I think, as well, over in Charlotte Amalie. And so the question is, where does that put us? We are currently running a port that is dual function, which is doing cruise as well as cargo. But the other challenge that you have is that our cargo facility, our cargo port, is pretty limited. And you're speaking about maybe about 13 acres in terms of the port, lands that are available on the section with the Northern Wharf, as well as the and the Western Wharf there, but as well as the Banana berth alongside La Torque Road. And of course, you're seeing the challenge with container space, right? Space for actually putting down containers. Now, cargo ports need a lot of space. They need a good amount of space as well. And how that space is oriented is also very important. You also want to ensure that you have good berthing capacity as well. So this has been a challenge, and there are different schools of thought as to maybe how that could be approached. One, it might be to look at the situation with respect to constructing a new cargo terminal. And there have been different proposals regarding that as well. Looking in one instance, some may think that it might be possible to do so in the cul-de-sac bay, of course, where we already have an existing facility for oil storage on the southern side of that bay. And there's been a proposal looking at the northern side to be able to develop a cargo facility. Of course, it's a little more complicated than that, because the bay there is far more exposed than what you have in Castries. And so one would mean that you need to look at the potential need for construction of a breakwater, and that can be pretty expensive depending on the depth of the water that you have to be dealing with. Of course, that's how Barbados was able to create their own port. They had to create a breakwater. And many ports will have to take that approach as well. But in addition to that, you probably do have to engage in a fair amount of actual land reclamation to be able to handle the kind of cargo the cargo loading yards that would be required to be able to facilitate a port that would be able to handle reasonably what we may need for our future growth and development. So it is not that simple in terms of cul-de-sac. And of course, that may very well make it a pretty expensive venture in that regard. And of course, another option that some have considered as well, or may have been, has been touted, is maybe looking at a maybe even doing something within the Castries Harbour at a different location. But the only real potential area that you could, you know, try to do something like that may be on the northern side of the harbour, towards the region of Point St. Victor. And that is in the region of the George Charles Airport. It may very well mean that you may have to decide, make a decision on the George Charles Airport and whether to, in fact, potentially close it, decommission it, and use some of those lands for the purpose of on the western side of that airport for that purpose. And that is a potential option that can be considered within that context. So you still have your cargo operations within the harbor setting, albeit at a different location. And part of the benefit there too is because right now, as we have it, pretty much a lot of the traffic has to come through the city center, and that's where you've got a lot of the congestion too, being compounded by the general traffic arrangements in that area. So certainly cul-de-sac might potentially remove some of that, but even so, it's pretty clear too that Castries is in dire need of a bypass, so as to not necessarily have a lot of the traffic heading into the heavy goods traffic heading into the city center itself. And another possibility exists in respect to Viewfort, right? And in the case of Viewfort, there is land available for a larger port and potentially maybe easier reclamation as well. And so that might be something that could be considered with respect to, and might very well become a cheaper alternative in terms of building it out, because there is actually a bit amount of land that can easily be used to expand the port. But, of course, the challenge there is that, as it is now, a lot of the logistics that we have, of course, is based on demand in the north of the island. A lot of the goods are destined for the north of the island as it is right now. A lot of the warehousing that handles a lot of the goods coming in are actually based in the north. So such a move would potentially require a very long-term look at how to more effectively move goods from north to south. And of course, that whole concept of coming up with a better north-south link, which has been put out there many, many times. In fact, some feasibility studies have been done regarding just that, could in fact lend itself to addressing that issue of trying to reduce on the cost of hauling, of movement of containers from the south to the north. So, and maybe even having more warehousing based in the south as well could potentially be an opportunity for breaking bulk there and then you know, doing the necessary distribution. So lots to think about, perhaps in terms of the long term, but certainly within the short term, the challenges with managing the Port of Castries will no doubt continue. And from what we've been told, it seems as if there's been some level of compromise with respect to what has been going on there. Part of the challenge, too, I suspect, is that some of the lands that would have been used in the past to as sort of like a holding area for these container trucks, I think may very well be part of the whole GPH redevelopment. And so there has to be some rationalizing as to how those vehicles, these large container trucks, will be able to queue up and get into the port. And so that's, I think, is a very interesting situation, very interesting challenge. Well, let's hope that we can see a short-term solution to it, but as well a more longer-term solution as well. So that's our program for today, and we do hope that you have a very blessed weekend, a very enjoyable one, and we hope that we can come back at the other end of it'll be a new month, June, and hope you can join us for that next week.